Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Thank you for being with us. I just think of it as such an honor to come and talk to you, whether you're driving a car, whether you're in a retirement home, or whether you're a young mother or father just wanting the very best for your children. That scenario and many more play out every day, and thank you for listening to me. Today's devotion is A Lot of Insects, and our verse is taken from Psalms 91:10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. How many different kinds of insects do you suppose there are in your backyard or in the nearest vacant lot? A famous entomologist, that's a person who studies insects, by the name of Frank Lutz, wondered how many kinds lived in his yard in the suburbs of New York City. Within his 75 by 200 foot lot, he found 1,402 species. Dr. Lutz wrote a book called A Lot of Insects, about his yard full of insects. Of course, there were many of each of the 1,402 species in his yard. Outside of town, there would be even more, for in the country, the number of different insects increases and the quantity becomes greater. Most of the kinds of insects in the world are harmless to man and go about their business without bothering us. But there are a few that make life difficult. Millions of dollars are spent each year getting rid of ants, termites, cockroaches, flies, mosquitoes, weevils, and fleas. When some kind of insect increases in number to a point where it becomes a pest or even harmful to our way of life, we try to control it in some way. A great abnormal increase of a particular insect might be called a plague. In the Bible times, there were no sprays, powders, or tablets that could be used to get rid of the unwanted bugs. So plagues of grasshoppers would eat every green plant and leaf around. Farmers would be completely helpless to stop the total destruction. But God says in His Word, because thou hast made the Lord, which is your refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Psalms 91:9-10. Amen. What a great promise. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. And we know that in this land, we do have plagues and pestilences. And we just ask for you to help us to know what to do and when to run and when to battle. Just be our habitation. Thank you for hearing our prayers. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts, that experiential learning section of the show. And I always encourage you to have your older children maybe take the lead in this. Now, I don't know if my parents really intentionally did this, but my mom didn't work. My dad was the sole provider until I was 6 years old. And this is what I learned before I reached the age of seven. I learned how to make bread. I mean, yeah, I probably just kneaded the dough, but I still thought I was learning how to make bread. I learned how to keep my room clean and where to put each toy away. I remember my mom was embroidering pillowcases, and so she gave me one that I could embroider too with a needle. I learned about animals, taking care of animals. I had a dog and a cat, and I lived in the country, so I learned a lot about flowers, and my favorite flower is lilac to this day. I love lilacs because there was just hedges of them. And so as you're thinking about insects, what did you learn? What's your first recollection of insects? They're so fascinating and they're so varied. I've put stuff in my Pinterest site on Windows on God's World board, and you can go to MR Gamblin too to find it. But there is so much your students can do, your children can do. Like, time to look for milkweed. Cultivate a little patch of milkweed in your yard so you can grow your own monarch butterflies. They will come if it's there. Look for bees rather than killing every bee you see. Maybe you can find where the bee lives and learn about the bee. So as you're thinking about what you're going to do, I like to think back of how my folks poured into me. As the oldest daughter, they poured into me. And do you know that when they both went back to work at the age of 7, or I was 6 probably, the raising of the rest of the kids really fell to me. And we went out in nature. We played. We made houses. We learned about so many things because my folks had already poured into me. So this investment of time and energy in your older children will pay off as they help the younger children learn and do and grow. Curriculum Corner. Curriculum Corner is where you, as the parent, develops the path for your child, whether it's de-schooling, unschooling. Some states do not recognize de-schooling or unschooling, so you have to say something that they recognize, and the local public school is required to give you the textbooks that you need to continue your homeschooling journey. So be sure and get those. Doesn't mean that you're going to do them, but you comply to the best of your abilities. And after that period of time when your child has caught their breath, maybe they need counseling, and don't hesitate to get that for them, somewhere that they can talk without fearing what mom and dad might think of them. Because even as a teenager, they want mom and dad to think well of them, even as an adult. So after that decision of what one subject you're going to focus on in a more traditional way, and of course I recommend math, then now you really take the time and you can craft a subject. For example, I've helped students craft a subject, English in the technical world. So English in the technical world looks different than just going through a textbook. English in the technical world encompasses technology. So maybe they're choosing to read articles, websites, listen to news reports in the technical world. And as long as they do that so much each week, you can count it as a credit. So you write up your course. It would meet, if they were in the 11th grade, it would meet the English 3 requirement. Or maybe your child really is into things that have to do with the woods. They're already cutting down trees, and maybe they're, you know, collecting firewood, stacking firewood. And so you could write a survivalist skills course, and that would meet one of the electives that they have to have. It could also meet the physical education requirement that they need. So if you contact me, that's rgamblin@homeschoolcompanion.org. I can help you write those courses so that your child can easily finish their requirements at the end of their 12th grade. And oh, how wonderful it is when you don't have to put up with going to school in a hostile environment. This parent is asking, how do you learn in more non-traditional ways? Well, let's just go through the list here. How about baking and artwork, or even painting a mural on your own bedroom wall, chopping wood, building fires, making your own pasta from scratch. How about that? Fixing a clogged sink, watching a sow furrow, and then watching the babies as they go around and find where to nurse? How about going to a museum? And if you live in an area where there's snow, maybe get Dad out there to make a dome with some PVC and wrap it in plastic wrap and get ready for the snow to come. And cutting out pictures. Kids love to look at their own pictures and cut them out, or learning to sew. There's so many everyday things that we learn that we don't even realize are great learning experiences. So I think that was a great question. How do you learn in non-traditional ways? This question comes from Kelly, and she just wants some workbooks on teaching handwriting. And handwriting is a wonderful skill. We don't always teach it, but it's now coming back because we find out that it nourishes the other side of the brain. And we want our children to be whole brain. We found out that kids who learn cursive handwriting actually score better on SAT scores and ACT scores. And they attribute to the fact that their thoughts can flow quicker. And if that's the case, then we should let them learn shorthand as well, which I know I had to learn it when I was a kid. Anyway, there's lots of opinions on it, and you can go to usually used bookstores, you can go online, you can find handwriting tools everywhere, and I like to use on my tablet, I like to use handwriting. It's so cool. The kids have to go the right direction, and when they do, then little things fill in the letters and make all kinds of sparkly noise. Well, please stay tuned for the second half of our show, and we're going to finish up our interview with Jerry Lynn Rogge. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. I am here with Jerry Lynn Rogge, and we are talking about the Christian Record. The Christian Record Services has been around for a long time. You can go to christianrecord.org to learn more, and we went through some of the resources, free Bibles, free Bible lessons, and now tell me a little bit about the Ann Loke Scholarship.
The Ann Loke Scholarship was started by an employee of Christian Record who, when his wife passed away, he established this scholarship in her honor because she was an educator. And so Ann Loke Scholarships are awarded to people who are legally blind and who are attending accredited colleges or universities in the United States. And this scholarship is $2,000 per year. It is something that has to be applied for each year. The application opens in January, closes mid-April, and then we make the announcements in June. In fact, I think we've just made the announcements for this year's scholarship winners. And there's a variety of people who win the scholarship from Christian Record, and people who are pursuing music degrees, technology degrees, biochem. It's just really, it's fascinating to me, just the people who are attracted to this scholarship program. And not all of them, in fact, the majority of them are not members of Christian Record. They find us through scholarship searches.
Yes, okay. That was going to be my question. Do you have to be a member of Christian Record?
No, you do not. And in fact, I have a child who's college age, so we're on that track of having to go searching for those scholarships. And so if somebody searches for college scholarships for the blind, the Ann Loke Scholarship should appear there. And that's a lot of how we're finding these young individuals who are pursuing higher education.
I also wanted to talk about your library.
Okay. The Naomi Chapman Turner Library is a unique library because when somebody qualifies for services for the blind, they receive a device that looks a lot like the old school cassette recorders. And we probably all remember that, making our own mixtapes when we were kids. And so it looks like that, but it actually is a little different. It has a device called a cartridge that slides inside the machine, and it enables the listener to enjoy a book. And a lot of these cartridges can hold multiple books. So we have some of the books in our library. We have one set, I think, in fact, that has the entire Conflict of the Ages series on one cartridge. It holds a lot of content. So this Naomi Chapman Turner Library is something that's available to our members free of charge. It's a lending library. So we lend a cartridge out, they listen to it, they put it into a special box, it comes back to us, and these things are sent through Free Matter for the Blind, so it doesn't cost anything for us to send it to them or for them to send it back to us. And then when it comes back, we scan it in, and if somebody's waiting for it, it goes right back out the door to the next member.
So how many people work in your organization? This sounds like a lot of work.
We're a small team, actually. We actually have 13 full-time employees and one part-time individual. In fact, that part-time individual is our coordinator for the next item I'd like to talk about, okay, which is Phone Faith.
Yes, Phone Faith.
So Phone Faith is a ministry that started in California several years ago, and out of a need for the blind community to just connect. And one way to do that, that's everybody has a phone, so it was started that way, just getting together to share the Sabbath school lesson, to share about music, to share about health. There's a lot of health issues related to the blind community, and so it's grown from there. And the lady who is the coordinator for it now, Dr. Leonora Ruff, she's based in Atlanta, and she's our one off-site employee also. She is the coordinator for this network of programs that goes on with 17 live shows every week over the telephone.
Wow.
And so this is by and for the blind community. So we have a team of hosts that help facilitate the programs. And then Dr. Ruff will talk with local health experts or even national level health experts, with pastors, with teachers, with different ones that have an interest with something that connects to the blind community. So we have one that talks about diabetes. And so one person might come on and talk about foot care. Another one might be coming on talking about diet. They do an overview of the Sabbath school lesson every Friday night. There's also even an open mic time where they can come and share their talent. And
wow.
Phone Faith was started during the beginning of the pandemic. So as 2020 was coming into the summer season, our blind camps weren't happening. They were closing down one by one, and I wept with so many camp directors as these were being shut down. And we really felt this desire to do something. We had to do something for the blind campers that summer. Well, here comes Phone Faith. And so as part of our rollout of Phone Faith, we did audio virtual campfires. We did three of them, and it was just the most fun to be able to give a little journey of coming to camp, some campfire songs, some camp stories, and that was their introduction to Phone Faith. And so Phone Faith is something that we're all very proud of, because there are a lot of groups around the United States, even around the world, that meet from time to time, either on Zoom or on the phone. But this is truly the only one that's focused on ministry to this community.
Yeah. So it talks about meet and greet, social interaction, Bible games, prayer time. So they have to go online first, or they can call?
They can just call. So the number for Phone Faith is 209-399-9465. And there are programs nearly every day.
And what age groups does this?
We typically want, the programs are targeted for people ages 18 and up, although we are talking about trying to put together a special program from time to time for families.
So it's ages, say that again?
18 and up.
18 and up. Mm-hmm. So they might even meet somebody?
It's possible, yes, yes.
So how does one become a member?
One of the easiest ways to become a member is to go to the website I mentioned earlier, lib.guide. It's lib.guide. And there's a register button on that site. And they can complete their information if they have a recent doctor's note or some other way to prove that they already received resources from their state library services for the blind. They can upload an image that shows that. Once we view it and approve it, then they can receive any of those resources they want in Braille, in audio, or large print. Another way is old school on paper, have somebody help them complete the form and then mail it into us with that documentation. They can also give us a call. And our member services line is 402-488-0981, option 3. And if that doesn't appeal to you to be on the phone, you can also send an email asking for more information at services@christianrecord.org.
Wow. So as we come to the end of our show, what prompted you personally to get involved with this ministry?
It was actually through my husband. So many years ago, my husband had been working for another ministry within the church, and he received a call to come to Christian Record to work in-house as part of the support staff. And so we packed up our house and moved back to Nebraska. We had actually met at Union College and got married there, moved away, came back. And once I understood a little more of what Christian Record did for and with the blind community, I wanted to be involved as well.
You know, I first got involved at a camp as a young person. I was the arts and craft director. And
how
when
fun.
They said next week is blind camp, I'm going, well, what kind of arts and crafts do you do with blind? We had so much fun.
I bet.
You know, we did a lot of feeling of the paint, but I did almost all the same crafts.
Excellent.
That I normally would do. And they were really proud of, you know, how, I think they were sensitive to, you know, the paint felt this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day when they got there, it was dry. Then it felt another way.
Wonderful.
And so, you know, I always thought, wow, this is such a great organization, Christian Record, such a great organization. But I really never had any idea that it was connected to a church. And I think that's a blessing in the sense that we can reach to those that are unchurched, that
yes.
This is, it. You do not have to belong to a church to
it's
be
true.
Involved with this.
Well, in fact, Christian Record serves people from all walks of life. And in fact, the majority of the people that we serve are not Adventists. A lot of them are Baptist or Catholic, or, you know, we even have a few Muslims who are members, Amish individuals. So we are happy to serve anybody who is interested in receiving our free resources.
Yes, and don't you think when God made flowers and he made all the different kinds of flowers that he's looking down, we kind of segregate by denomination.
But we do.
But he is there, and he is the God of all.
Indeed.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and I look forward to seeing what else you will have in the future. I know that there's always creative things coming down, and I did want to mention that you had said that for people who were severely dyslexic, that this is also a resource.
Yes, that's a very good point to mention. So the definition of what qualifies for people who are either blind or print disabled has expanded recently. So if somebody has severe dyslexia, as an example, or even cerebral palsy or another condition that prevents an individual from holding or focusing on print ink,
okay,
they would qualify for services through the State Library Services and through Christian Record Services.
Thank you so much, Jerry Lynn, for being with us.
Thank you.
I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.